Well, welcome to the Help and Hope for Families broadcast tonight. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member, Family Life here in Pittsburgh. And with me tonight is Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back, folks.
Well, good evening. Thanks for having us, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be here.
Thanks for all y'all who are listening to us, too.
Yes, we appreciate it.
All five of you.
No, hopefully money. Multiply that. Okay. Well, tonight we want to talk about what a married couple can do to enhance the spiritual part of their marriage. Well, it's been said that a couple that prays together stays together. Mm. And so why, Catherine Scott, do you think this is true? Let's start with you.
You know, there's so many benefits. It's such a gift to be able to pray together. In fact, I'll start off by saying it really almost can reduce conflict right off the bat, because when you're praying with someone,
hard to be angry, huh?
It's just really hard to be in a difficult spot with that person. So prayer has a way of humbling yourselves before God. Mm-hmm. And it's a way, as we just said, to dissolve selfishness and pride in the relationship. I think also it's a way of just sharing the burden and the joy of your family's genuine need before the Lord. And that is just a very special way of pulling you together. And prayer is also an opportunity for you to ask for forgiveness and grant forgiveness. And you can do that by asking the Lord together, going to Him and helping you with that process. In fact, Tim, I often imagine this as Scott and I are praying together, and sometimes even as I'm on my own, I imagine a third chair, and I imagine the Lord sitting right there. He's part of our conversation.
Listening to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just a great way to glue our marriage together.
And in prayer also gives our spouse a sense of our own humility. So as I'm praying, if I'm asking for forgiveness, or if I'm confessing to God that I harbor these issues in my heart or my life and all that, it gives my spouse a chance to hear what's really on my heart, if I, you know, if I'm willing to be that transparent. And there's a lot of couples that do not pray together. I can't tell you how many couples I've approached and talked to about their own spiritual walks. And they're just saying, you know, I can't remember the last time I prayed with my spouse. Mm-hmm. And I think, gosh, you know, we do devotions. We certainly need to have that injection of devotions in our life every day. And we need to have that prayer. So why not do that together? But it's interesting. I've actually heard the response, I just can't be that intimate. My relationship with Christ is so intimate that I can't allow my spouse into that space.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, that's not me.
Yeah.
But I really do appreciate it when the two of us are in prayer. Mm-hmm. I can hear her heart. She can hear my heart. And it really brings us together.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what else can a couple do, Pam and Scott? Pam and
Pam
and Tom. Yeah, who are you? Okay, Pam and Tom. You give us some more suggestions.
Well, sure. I think one of the things that we can do is read the Bible together, and you know, to find the hope and the promises and the encouragement we need every day to meet the challenges and decisions we have to make each day. And goodness knows, every day there's going to be challenges, there's going to be choices to be made, there's going to be all of these things that happen. Going to a good Bible-preaching church each week to enjoy worshiping the Lord together also is important. Singing praises to Him. I know that's something that our family, just Pam and myself and our three daughters, when they were small, we would often just as a family gather around the piano and just sing.
I have to admit, that's hard to do with a mask on.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
At church, it's been really tough for me to sing because I can't breathe.
Yeah, at least they can worship that way at home.
Absolutely. Yes. But singing praises, listening to God's word being preached, these are all ways to challenge and comfort us.
Yeah.
And then, two, having believers around you, other believers in Christ,
who
can encourage you and cheer you on, maybe give you that good advice as opposed to maybe somebody at work that doesn't give you the good advice about marriage. And I'm a big, huge believer in books. I like to read books myself. I think it's helped me through a lot of this. I think I adjusted well through our marriage, because I did read those books. I did read those family life things. I did read those things that helped keep me grounded.
And it's kind of interesting that we're doing these broadcasts in the middle of a church library.
Right.
You see, you like books. We like books.
This is my kind of place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Scott, if someone is listening tonight and has never placed their faith and trust in Christ as their Savior, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to get very real with themselves and who they are. And I know there's some broken people that are desperately looking for how do I get delivered from this? That was me.
Yeah.
When I was 20 years old, I was completely broken to say, I see no future and no hope. Mm. I desperately need that God rescue me from this.
Yes.
And if you're in a position in life where you feel like you just don't know where to turn or where to look, I guarantee you, if you're willing to humble yourself and look vertically and just have that prayer and say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I confess that I don't do things right. I'm not perfect, and only you can rescue me, that I need to look to you to do that and deliver me, and that I believe that you came and that you lived and that you died to save all mankind, and especially me, a chief sinner, and that you rose on the third day, and I put my faith, my trust, my life in you. That is the beginning of the first step to make a difference in your life. You will feel, I guarantee you, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to give you a perspective of there's hope. There's
Amen.
A future.
Amen.
And that's how I felt. When I prayed that prayer, I felt just this, there is hope. Hope rests in Christ and in Scripture. And then I committed to going to church, and I commend to you folks, if you're listening and you're in that spot, the next step you need to take is to find a place where you can get fellowship that Pam mentioned, where you can hear good, solid teaching that Tom
Amen.
Mentioned. But you have to make that step. We have lots of resources, lots of things available, but we have to have the want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what they need to do.
Well, that brings up another issue, too, because there may be some folks here who are listening to the program who may be considering marriage, and yet one is a believer in Jesus Christ and the other is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Why is it so important that two people who are going to get married both know and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Tom?
Well, I think... just simply the like-mindedness, as you were speaking there, Tim, I thought about over the 40 years that Pam and I have been married, going on 41, and the struggles that we have faced, we've experienced, I can't imagine what that would have been like had we been coming from two different worldviews. If one of us would have had a Christian worldview and would have had more of a secular worldview, I can't even imagine how we would have addressed that. The Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. We would have just looked at it from completely different perspectives. But with both of us being believers, we could pray about the things, and we could look to the Scripture as our guide. The Scripture would we let God's Word be the ultimate authority on what we do. And so just simply the like-mindedness, the familial, what I mean by that is what your parents are going to experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, I see that this person wants to please their parent. This person wants to please their parent. So they don't really quite know what to do with that. So to me, just the like-mindedness and being on the same page, going in the same direction.
I think of it in terms of when hard things happen. Mm-hmm. If you're not on the same page, if you're not able to communicate about that, if something hard happens, you might harbor bitterness. You
right.
might not know how to forgive. Matter of fact, if
right.
we don't use Scripture as the litmus, we won't know how to forgive.
That's exactly
and you won't
right.
care.
What's that?
And if you don't use Scripture, you won't care
yeah.
whether you
mm-hmm.
forgive or not.
Yeah, yeah,
good
yeah.
point.
So you just think about, you talk about going on two planes of totally different locations. You know,
yeah.
we're not parallel at all. We're not together.
Yeah.
On two
yeah.
different planets almost, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's no way in that it's just going to bring more, I would think, it could just bring more conflict, more upheaval, more
mm-hmm.
turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So being on the same page, I can't tell you how many major life decisions we make where with Catherine and I, if we're on the same page, we're like-minded. We're thinking, what is God's best for us and our family?
Right.
That's kind of where that's our framework.
Right.
If I was thinking just what's best for me.
Right.
And God's not a part of that, mm-hmm. well, that's going to be very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of that scripture verse that says, how can two walk together
yeah.
unless they are agreed?
True.
Right.
I mean, give me some practical illustrations, some more,
yeah.
of where disagreement can take place if one's a believer and one's not a believer.
I think a huge place where we would all see that is in our area of our finances.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good point.
It becomes
yeah.
so contentious very quickly, even for believers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, Scott and I have different styles. Of saving, spending, or what prioritizing. But in Christ, we're able to have these discussions and bend towards one another. When you don't have that unifying factor in your relationship, it's going to make monetary things I would say, at times probably extremely contentious, and it may lead to fear, which is then lying and deceit and so many things that happen as a result of. Right. So that's just one area.
And we're selfish. We are just plain selfish. So if we don't have the Spirit in us helping us to be less self-focused and more others-focused, we're going to be selfish when we make those decisions. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all about me and what can I get.
Right.
The second area I would say is in child-rearing.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that with child-rearing, if we're not in agreement, then we're going to be arguing over what we should be teaching our children, maybe how we should discipline them, what we want to instill in them. Those are the thoughts that came to my mind.
I don't know if
the
rest of you,
the spiritual upbringing, the spiritual emphasis.
And if you'd like to talk to me about your personal relationship with Christ or to Tom, you can call me at 412-337-3858 or email me at tptuck@juno.com. Family Life has a lot of resources available to help you in your Christian life, and you can go to familylife.com to see how you can know Christ personally as well. Mm-hmm. And also a great resource is Every Person, that's all one word, everyperson.com, and that will give you a lot of guidance, too, in the Scriptures on how to know Christ personally. Tom, give us your contact information as well.
You can reach me by phone at 724-672-3670. Find information at the website, thekeystonecounseling.org, or you can shoot me an email at tj1162@gmail.com.
And Catherine, make us aware of what's happening this fall.
Yes, Family Life, as you mentioned, has tremendous resources. One of those is what we have in person here in Pittsburgh is two different weekends, the Weekend to Remember, happening in the fall, October 29th through 31st, and then again in November 12th through the 14th. It's a 2.5-day getaway for couples. And by the way, if you're not married but pursuing marriage, this would be a great time to come and invest as a couple. Just time to get away. If you got a healthy relationship, wonderful. If you're in a spot where you need some encouragement, also a great time to come. You'll visit weekendtoremember.com, and you can gather the information on how to attend. I think you can also call 1-800-FL-TODAY, or that's 1-800-358-6329. And don't forget to use promo code WEEKENDTOGETHER to save $100 off the discount. That's a discount for couples. And Scott, isn't there a discount for pastors as well?
Oh, no, we don't give pastors.
Actually, we have a free scholarship for
them. Just kidding. Strike that from the record.
They get a free scholarship by going to Weekend to Remember /pastor WTR.
Well, thank you to each of you panelists for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
We hope that everyone can join us again next Sunday night for another Help and Hope for Families.